Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music there this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10. 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 15. 1 Corinthians, chapter 10. As Paul writes to the church at Corinth, they had been struggling with temptations to sin. And Paul was addressing that very subject here, and we find he addresses it in chapter 10, verses 1 through 15. So if you would stand with me, if you found that, if you're able to do so. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. And neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, again, we thank you for the privilege to be in church. And Lord, I just pray again for all that are here and all that are listening to the Word of God. I pray, God, that you would just speak to each one. Ask that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message from your Word to your people. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Are you aware of the last temptation you had to sin? This is something that we face on a daily basis. We know that our enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil, these are areas by which we can be led to sin. This is what we are having to face when it comes to temptation. But are we that much aware of the temptations that are in our lives? If you're aware of it, did you overcome it or did it overcome you? Because when temptations come, that's what's going to happen. You will overcome it. That means that you will not follow through with that temptation, or it will overcome you. As we look here, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and as you know, if you've studied the Word of God, you know he sent two letters to the church at Corinth, and they were having a lot of different things. They were struggling. The church was struggling with a lot of temptations in the church, and so Paul brings in Old Testament Israel. In chapter 10, he reveals that Old Testament Israel continued to be overcome with temptations to sin. Now, if you'd read Old Testament and you would study the life of Israel and the wilderness journeys, and then even once they got into the promised land, this was a reoccurring problem for Israel. They would turn away from God and they would give in to the temptations that they would face, and God would judge them to the place that they would find themselves repenting. And as they would repent, then God would restore fellowship and blessings, only to find Israel yielding back to sin. And this is just a reoccurring type of a story for Israel. I believe that that's why he brought it up, because it's what was a reoccurring theme here in the church at Corinth. And if you, it could be a reoccurring theme in our own lives. And so that's why we find that Paul writes in the message that he has for them in chapter 10, verses 1 through 15. In verses 1 through 4, Paul reveals Israel's spiritual experiences with God. I mean, they had this awareness of the reality of God. Now, signs and wonders when it comes to God are very common in the Old Testament. Signs and wonders, very common in the book of Acts during the apostolic age. We don't deal with signs and wonders today. We have the completion of the Word of God. We have it written down for us. Our faith is to be found in the Word of God instead of a sign or some kind of a miraculous miracle, a wonder, although God is still in the miracle-working business here, but it's not to be done to convince people that there is a God. We know there's a God. And we have his word right before us that he has preserved to understand the mind of God. But we find in Old Testament there was more of a signs and wonders taking place, and Israel experienced some tremendous signs and wonders. And he says here in chapter 10 and verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant." I want you to understand that we have the recording of Old Testament Israel for a purpose. And so I don't want you to be ignorant of God's chosen people, Israel, because the Old Testament is very important for us to see how God dealt with his children, Israel, you know, in the Old Testament. So I don't want you to be ignorant, he says, how that are all of our fathers. Again, I like that idea all, because he's bringing all of them into it. All of our fathers were under the cloud. That's when they come out of Egypt. God's presence was there for them in the cloud, and it followed them. It led them through the wilderness. And the Bible goes on, says, and all passed through the sea. If you remember there, the Red Sea, that they thought that they were going to be trapped between the Egyptian army and the Red Sea. And God opened up the Red Sea for Israel to cross the Red Sea on dry ground. And then he, when the Egyptian army followed, then he closed the Red Sea and it drowned the Egyptian army. What a sign and what a wonder. You say, if only that I could see something like that, I would never give in to temptations again in my life. Really. You know, Israel was the same as what we are. Yeah. They had human flesh and sin nature just like we do. And so that's why he's bringing this up to them. And we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Means they were under Moses' leadership there as he was leading them through. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, which was manna. I mean, you talk about a sign and wonder, and you talk about something that should convince Israel that God is aware of them. I mean, he told them exactly how they were to feed upon the manna. And when they tried to stock too much of it, it went bad. and he had exactly what they needed, and they would have to follow his instructions to be able to be fed by the spiritual meat the Bible calls manna. If you do a study on the manna of God in the Old Testament, it's just a miraculous, unreal how that he would have it for them exactly as they needed it, with them on the Sabbath, they not going out and picking it, but it would last and it would stay good just because of the Sabbath day. It's no doubt it was to help Israel to realize you have a God. And he is very much aware of what you're going through. He knows what you have need of. Live like it. Don't forget it. Don't be ignorant of it. And then they did all drink that same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. There was no water available in the middle of the desert, and yet God allowed water to gush out of a rock. And that rock was Christ, meeting their need. They experience that signs and wonders. I mean, that is spiritual experiences to know there was a God. And yet, they were overcome by temptations. Verse 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Because they were overcome by temptations and they did exactly what was opposite God's will for their lives, then God would judge them and they were overthrown because of their sin. Now, as we read this right here, this is recorded for all believers to learn from. We have all the Old Testament stories. We have all the Old Testament prophets. We have all the Old Testament writings, the Book of Psalms and the Proverbs. It's for all of us to learn from. That's why God has preserved it for us. But he said in verse 6, he says, now these things were our example. He's speaking to the believers in the New Testament church. And he's speaking to you and I today because we are believers in the New Testament church. Just 2,000 years later, but it's still the church age. And we still have the very same truths that we are to look to and live by. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. In verse 11, he repeats somewhat the very same thing when he says, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, a living example, and they are written and preserved, if you will, for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. They're written down for our admonition as long as the church is here, all the way through the end of the church age. That's what he's saying right there. Can I tell you that we are closer now than ever before to the end of the church age? I trust we still have a few more years so that we can accomplish even greater things for the cause of Christ through his church. Amen. But we've learned a lot even this year, all the things going on. My goodness, have we learned a lot of things? But God will continue to work through his church. And the church needs to continue to look to God. And we have the examples that we are to learn from. I want to preach this morning on how to face temptations. Because I believe that's what Paul was writing, and that's why God gave the church at Corinth this passage of Scripture, because I think it's found right here. There's a lot of different types of temptations that we will face. Over this last year, we have faced a lot of temptations to not be in church, to not even take advantage of what we do have, even when it comes to the live stream, to stay connected, not to read our Bibles, not to pray, yielded to temptations to possibly fall after another belief, idolatry, or whatever other types of temptations we might have and we will still incur. And so how to face temptations? The first thing is what Paul was doing with the church at Corinth is to learn of God's will and ways. Learn of who God is and what God would call sin. It's important for us to know when we're being tempted that it is a temptation to do something that is in opposition to God's will for our lives. In verse 6, he says this, "Now these things were our example to the intent." These things are written, our example, this is what it's teaching us, that we should not lust after, and underline that right there, evil things. Evil things. Can I tell you that Satan is known as the tempter? Jesus Christ, during that temptation of Christ, he revealed Satan as the tempter, as he would come to unleash every bit of power to tempt that he could muster up against Jesus Christ. And Jesus knew what God would call sin. What God would call sin is what the devil will use against us. Temptation, as we look at the word there, and the temptation that the Bible talks about has two senses. First of all, it is a definition of solicitation to evil. A solicitation to evil. Trying to get you to yield your mind and your body to something that God says not to yield to. And can I tell you, the temptation is always in the mind, first of all. All spiritual activity begins in the mind, the subconscious that leads to the conscious mind. Before you'll ever act out a sin, you will have yielded to it in your thoughts. James in chapter 1, look over there with me. James in chapter 1. In James in chapter 1, the Bible helps us to see that's why you'll never be tempted of God. In James chapter 1, in verse 13, the Bible says this, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." There's always a consequence. There's always an end result of a temptation to sin. And when we yield to that sin, the Bible says it bringeth forth death. So we have that solicitation to evil. And the second sense of the temptations that we find in the scriptures that the Bible reveals to us is testing under trials. Testing under trials. You might have learned how to overcome the temptation to do something evil. You might have learned how to overcome the temptation to give in to the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes or the pride of life. But Satan's not done with you. Because we go through trials. And God will take us through trials to strengthen us and to help us to be even better prepared for what is to come in life. But there is temptations. In every trial of life, there will be a temptation associated with it. That's where the devil comes in. Satan does not want us to be strengthened by the trials that God allows us to go through. I believe that even for the church, this COVID virus and what's going on with that is a trial for the church to go through. And I believe that God has allowed it because there's a lot of good that we can learn from this. Maybe even appreciate what we have more so than what we ever have before. There's so much that we can look into concerning the trial, but it is a trial for individuals as well as the church as we face what we are facing. And so in the midst of this, that God has allowed this to come into our lives and even to come in to impact the church, there is a temptation that the devil will bring in the midst of any and every trial that God would allow us to go through. But the temptation will never be allowed above the possibility of resistance. Now that's a great, go back there with me to our text, and we find that in verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it, and be strengthened through that trial, the way God would have you to be strengthened through that trial, instead of yielding to a temptation that will cause you to fail in the midst of the trial. Wow. Temptation will never be allowed above the possibility of resistance. But we have to learn to resist. Not only the lust of the flesh and the temptations of all these things, but also the temptation to not trust God. The temptation to not have faith and to lose sight of what we believe, to lose sight of what we know to be truth in the midst of our trials. So we need to learn what God would call sin. Because that's what you're going to be tempted with. And if we go back into this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the second thing that we find here in this passage of Scripture is to learn that we will all face temptations. No one's exempt. We all have flesh. We all live in this world. And there is a devil. And we will face trials. We're not in heaven right now. Can I hear a praise God? Yeah. I love that thought that this is the only heaven a lost person will ever know. Because it only goes downhill from here. And yet, this is the only hell that a saved person will know. That's right. Yeah. Chapter 10 and verse 12 says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Well, I'm never going to yield to that kind of sin. I'll never turn my back on God. Really? The Bible says, take heed, lest he fall. That's all of us. In verse 1, again, he says here, now I want you to learn from Old Testament. It's here for a reason. It's our example. So he says, I don't want you to be ignorant. How that no matter how spiritual you might think you are and how strong your faith is, can you imagine how strong the faith was when they seen the Red Sea part? How strong their faith would have been when they were walking through, literally walking on dry ground with the water stacked up on each side? Can you imagine where their faith was and then when they got up every morning to go out to see that the manna was there on the ground? Just as God had promised? Can you imagine all the things that they were able to be blessed by with signs and wonders? And yet, can I tell you, this Bible has more to it than even the signs and wonders? We just accept that by faith and not by sight. But they was able to see. In verse 6, now these things were our example to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. It's recorded. Recorded examples for all of us to learn from. Yeah. Temptations will come. But not everyone will be tempted the same. See, we might be looking for a temptation that you've seen somebody else fall to, and you're ready to overcome that because you're wondering, how could they fall to that kind of temptation? That's probably never going to be something that the devil's going to use to tempt you with. But the Bible says here, it talks about in verse 6, the lust. They lusted, some of them. And then we find in verse 7, it says, as were some of them also idolaters. You don't have to worry about me ever getting away from the doctrines of the Baptist church and the doctrines of the Bible and serving Christ. It could be. You don't know what we're going to face. When they tell us you got to stop preaching the Bible, is when you're going to see most, if not all, hopefully all the staff go to jail. Because we're going to preach the Bible. Are we willing to go that far to stand upon what we believe? Temptations will come. And I believe that day will come at some point. It will. We know the Bible, what the Bible says. We know what the end is going to bring. Now, how bad it gets before the rapture, I don't know, but it's going to get bad. Will our faith stand? Or will the temptation to turn away from our faith overcome us? I don't know. He also goes on and say, not only with the lust and the idolaters, he says, and neither let us commit fornications as some of them committed. Now, again, we find some did this and some did that. And so I don't know that all of them yielded to all of these temptations, but they were different temptations that some of them yielded to. Verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted God. And if you look at verse 10, neither murmur ye. Putting that in the very same category of sin as the others, the murmurers and the complainers. As some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. I think of, and I don't know, I guess it's because I've been trying to lose a little weight here, that my illustrations kind of fall back to food. When you're on a diet, it's easy to say no to certain foods. I'm not tempted by certain foods when I'm on a diet. But I am aware of how powerful peanut butter is. I am also very aware of how powerful fruit pies, natural fruit pies. I mean, I love cobblers and cakes. I'm not going to get tempted by a cake. But you put a nice cobbler and fruit pie out in front of me, I'm thinking, Lord, help me. I'm trying to stay on this diet. I'm trying to stay healthy, and I don't want... but I don't know. There might be some weird people here that's not tempted by peanut butter. I understand that. Not everybody has the same, you know, food, love for foods, the same foods. And you might not even be tempted. I don't understand it. But you might not even be tempted by a nice cherry cobbler. But I know what I have to watch out for. That's food. What about life? So many fall to so many different things. But the devil's not going to use on you something that you have not shown a vulnerability to. But he will use it. Yeah. Temptations might be to quit. Instead of continuing to do what God's called you to do, like Jonah, he didn't yield to the lust. He didn't fall into a trap set by another woman. He didn't yield to other types of sins. He didn't want to preach to Ninevites. The temptation was to run and quit, thinking that was going to solve God's will for his life. Whatever it is, it will be in opposition to God's will for your life. Once you understand God's will for your life, once you understand what God would call sin for you, Satan's going to use that to tempt. And we have to be aware of it. And we have to prepare to overcome it instead of allowing it to overcome us. So then, this is what Paul is giving to the church at Corinth that had it was in this situation. And then the last thing this morning is, know exactly what to do when facing those temptations. Verse 14 and 15. Wherefore, my beloved, dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Idolatry was a turn away from God to another, even if it's just your own personal conviction or your own personal, you make yourself a God, you make your own will a God. But you're fleeing from God. You turn away from God. And he says, flee from turning away from God. Don't do it. Yeah. First Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Because this is what Paul would use in writing to Timothy. Also, I believe it's exactly what he was talking about when it comes to fleeing these things in 1 Corinthians 10. But here in 1 Timothy in chapter 6, verse 9, it says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and unto many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Money is something, the love of money is something that is tempting to most people that gets them to turn away from God in various ways. But then as he uses this temptation, then he says, this is how you need to face it. Instead of yielding to it, this is how you need to face it. He says, but thou, O man of God, instead of yielding, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience and meekness. See, flee away from the temptations that would lead you to the money and to the sin that would overcome you, and turn to the things that will strengthen you to be able to resist that. That's where the church comes in. If you want to truly live the Christian life as God would have you live the Christian life, if you want to be strong in your faith, then God knows that we need the church. We need the preaching of the Word of God. We need the teaching of the Word of God. We need to come into a congregation such as this and sing together and praise together and sense the presence of God together and not forsake this type of assembling of ourselves together. God's allowed us to somewhat lose that. That should either strengthen or it will weaken some. Strengthen part of us said, I don't want to lose that. I want that. I need that. Yet, I know that there's others that might be a little more weak in their faith that kind of gets used to staying out of church. And starts getting used to having TV church. And that's a fear. That's a concern that we have to be aware of. So you flee, you follow after the right things, and then you fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. It says focus on eternal things. Focus on eternal life. Fight to make sure you keep your mind and your thoughts where they need to be. James would say over in James in chapter 1 and verse 12, let me read this to you and almost done here, so stay with me. James 1:12 says this, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. God says, I know what I allowed to come into your life. I know the temptations you're going to face. And when you endure those and you can come out on top of those and you overcome them instead of allowing them to overcome you, listen, I have a blessing in store for you. I love that. And then he says, verse 15 of our text, as we close it out, I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. Wow. Be wise. How do I face the temptations? With wisdom from God. Wisdom from God will help us to think it through and look beyond the draw. There's always a draw associated with temptation. I love chewing on those nuts and that crunchy peanut butter. I love the flavor. Sometimes I'll cheat and just get a little bite and I'll try to nourish that. But I'll just keep that bite in my mouth as long as I can. Because I just love that flavor. I love that. That's the draw. In those cobblers, I mean, take a chunk of that peach cobbler or a nice cherry that's in that or apple or what. Just want it. Just love that flavor. That's the draw. If there's no peanuts and peanut butter, there's no temptation. If there's no fruit and cobbler, there's no temptation. But there is. There's a draw in fulfilling the lust of the flesh. You've done it. You know the feeling. You know the enjoyment. But you need to look beyond that to the 10 extra pounds that peanut butter is going to put on you. And having to buy all new clothes when you eat too much cobbler. Or when you see what that sin does. Because in chapter 10 and verse 8, neither commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 3 and 20,000. 23,000 died because of their sin of fornication. Neither murmur ye as some of them murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Wow. Really? Is it worth that? Is it worth a failed marriage to have that affair? Is it worth a dysfunctional family for not one night with Bathsheba? Lost his whole family. David, King David, man after God's own heart, lost his whole family and grandchildren and on and on and on because of one night. Did you not think that through? Did you not understand where that would take you? Is it worth the loss of your peace? See, the moment that peanut butter's melted and it's gone, I'm thinking, why did I do that? I just, now those calories in my belly and I can't get them out. They're in there. They're going to turn into fat. You don't think about that when you're tasting it. But the guilt comes afterwards. I guarantee you, the guilt of sin takes away peace. The guilt of sin takes away joy. The guilt of sin takes away contentment. Judge ye. I speak as to wise men. Be aware of that. Be wise. Use wisdom. And judge ye what I say. Wow. What a powerful message. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. That message was not only for the believers at Corinth, it's for us today. It's for us today. How are we going to face temptations? Are we going to overcome them or are we going to let them overcome us? I trust we will learn to overcome them. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Pray that you would help us to make this application. Lord, I don't know what temptations people are battling right now. I don't know what kind of temptations will follow them tomorrow. But I know one thing is we must learn how to overcome them. I pray, God, that the message today would help us to know what we need to do and that we would overcome them instead of letting them overcome us. Bless now this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.